Hi, this is Amy.
And this is Katrina. In this episode, AADL talks to Dick Siegel. Singer-songwriter Dick Siegel came to Ann Arbor in 1971 to attend the University of Michigan and never left. He's been writing and performing regionally and nationally for over 40 years. He talks with us about his music, including insight into his lyrics and musical partners over the years. Thank you so much for being here today. We understand that you came to Ann Arbor to attend U of M, and you graduated in 1971. What did you study?
I wound up studying literature.
Can you talk about some of your musical influences growing up?
So I grew up in a family that really was into music. My dad was a doctor, but he was also a musician, and he had a lot of experience, like going across the Atlantic on the boat that takes you across the Atlantic Ocean with the band, you know. But anyway, so it was great like that, and we all had piano lessons and trumpet lessons, and then there would be like it was not unusual that my dad would have like a string quartet in the house of his friends, and they'd be playing music there. And I would think there was one thing that happened. Oh, then there was this piano teacher, and his name had the unfortunate name Dr. Bazala. We found that was very funny, you know. And anyway, but there was a record that came out on Columbia Records. It was called Ola Tunji, and it was this drum record, African drums. And I'd never heard drums like that, and it blew my mind. I loved it. I love the sound of boom, 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 boom. You know, just if all of a sudden I heard something that I really loved, and that got me into music. And then, so that was the big thing. And then I also had parents that were into having me and my friends play music in the basement. So we created a group that we formed, and we played it in the basement. And we played like English Invasion music. And so the bass drum, the Beatles, on their bass drum, they had the Beatles written on the bass drum. So I, on my bass drum, I had something else that I had like...
What was the name of your group?
Oh, The Inmates.
Good one.
That's right. I wasn't going to remember, but The Inmates.
Yeah,
it was great. And I remember, you know, like we'd be driving around in our little neighborhood, and I just remember these girls would see us, and they go, "Oh, it's the Inmates," and they'd
Yay.
Be clapping. It was, you know, so this also was something that was a lure for me, you
sure.
know, playing music for my friends, girlfriends, friends, and.
So, were you writing songs for the band at that point, or were you mostly doing covers?
We were doing covers.
So I've heard your music described as folk, rock, roots, blues, jazz, and that you have called it Americana music. How else would you describe the music that you have written and have played?
Well, Americana was a name that people who didn't really know music, they sort of go, well, it's Americana music, and to put it in like a... put it in just sort of a bag, so they don't have to really think about what the music really was about. You know, it's just Americana music. But I don't know. I could tell you like Bob Dylan. When I heard Bob Dylan, it was like an incredible experience just to hear that music. So good, that voice, his poetry, all of that stuff. So that was a huge impression on me, and in fact, in my music. Because it was so beautiful and poetic and powerful, you know, and cool and good looking. You know, it was just something. It was great music. And
so he was a big influence.
So when did you start writing your own music then?
One year, I decided to take a trip across country. And in a VW bus. You know,
oh, perfect.
The perfect thing,
right.
Going out to California.
Right.
California, yeah. So I drove out there, and on the way, I think, to the California boundary line, and there was a guy who just happened to be, like, waving me down, you know, as I was driving the car. So I stopped, and this was a hippie era. And so he said, I don't know, we stopped. He was hitching a ride. Mm-hmm. And so he invited him, oh yeah, come on in, you know. And so we're sitting there in the VW bus, and we're going down the road. And so right in the middle of what seemed like nowhere, he said, oh, here's my stop. And it was like it was in the middle of the desert or something. And so he got out, and I looked over at his seat, and his sock was sitting on the seat next to my seat. You know, it was this dirty sock. And so I said, man, you left your sock. He said, oh, no, dude, you can keep it. And I thought that was just so funny, you know. And then I went to California, and then in California, all of these weird groups, people who believed in different things, you know, and were very serious about it, or Goonie, or just all sorts, you know, or Play, or LSD, you know, mm-hmm. just, it was the whole era of, like, wow, this is amazing and wonderful, but also has its problems. But so I went out west, and then I came back. On the way back, I started making up this song, driving back from California, and it went something like, "For the morals you live are your own manufacture, and you got a friend in Jesus who won't let you down. You'll be wearing a smile when the world's got a frown. You're living up 'cause you just sunk down when you're palling around with Jesus." If I had some time, I would remember all of the verses of that song. But they were all like, a friend in Jesus. And that was the funny thing. That was the joke line after each verse of the song. So I got back to the Ark. And this was Wednesday night, which is a night that people could come with their, you know, with a song. And so I performed "You Got a Friend in Jesus." And it was the first song that I had written ever. And people really liked that song. I mean, they liked it more than any song I had played at the Ark. And I wrote the song, I made it up, you know. So it was like, it clicked in me. Oh, I can write songs. And they mean more to me than a song that I heard from somebody else or something like that. Yeah.
So have you found, I mean, it sounds like that song just kind of came to you. Is that, what is the process normally like for you writing a song?
Well, it's words and music. That's, you know, they're woven together.
One doesn't come before the other?
Okay. Yeah.
They come like right at the same time.
Yeah, because that's what is intriguing about it. Mm-hmm.
You have played solo and you have played with a lot of different groups, duos, bands. I know about Dick Siegel and the Ministers of Melody, Tracy Lee and the Leonards, Dick Siegel and the Brandos. Can you talk about your evolution from that solo at the Ark to the bands, the various different incarnations of musical groups that you've been with?
My first serious band, the Ministers of Melody, that was the first really serious one. And I had a great... I mean, and this is something that because I had lived with music for so long, you know, I really knew what was good. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to play with people that really knew how to play. And so I was really, you know, it was just something that I automatically did, work with really good people. And part of that is that everybody who works with people who are really good people in the band are enjoying the fact that the person next to them is really good. Mm-hmm. And they are good too. So, the Ministers of Melody. It was really cool. A lot of very interesting horn music, drums, of course, lyrics.
And where did you play in Ann Arbor?
Oh, okay. We played at, you had to be good to be playing in the Blind Pig. You know, it was a really good band and the players were really good, but there was also something maybe lacking in terms of originality to me. And I began having these ideas about making up a song, and and I made them up, and it started to turn out that the songs I made up were really good, and people, you know, wanted to hear more of them, you know, and I wanted to play more, and it was a real halcyon time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you first started at the Arc, when you got your start, do you remember what the music scene was like in Ann Arbor? Was that how you met people who you ended up working with?
Well, the Arc was really a folk music club. Mm-hmm. And it was great, you know. And me and a lot of friends of mine would go religiously to the Arc on Wednesday and hear great people. And people, a lot of people from different areas of the country, like from the South, you know, traditional music, mm-hmm. all sorts of different things that were really interesting to hear. And I think right there, you know, you'd hear someone singing a song, if it's a traditional song for them from South Carolina or something, and you'd hear it and, wow, that's really cool, you know, and it sort of became a song because it was useful and it was inspiring.
You were talking about the folk venue, the Arc, but there were also venues where bands were playing.
Like the Blind Pig.
Yeah, like the Blind Pig and trying to think of, I don't know, what other, Rick's? Was it Rick's a place where
Rick's
people
was a
played?
Place, yeah.
What are some other places?
Was Joe's Star Lounge in
Joe's
that
Star
area?
Lounge, yeah.
Did you play at those? Oh, in the Mr. Flood's party.
Mr. Flood's,
yeah.
Joe's Star Lounge, too, yeah. Joe's Star Lounge was really, yeah.
So did you play those places?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
And my great guitar hero,
now
George Bedard.
George Bedard and the Kingpins, right?
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah. So for a while, George Bedard was in our band.
Okay.
And then we had Tracy Lee and the Leonards.
Yeah.
And George was in that band.
I'd like to ask you about some of your specific songs, and maybe you can read some lyrics to us, too. I'd like to ask you about the famous song that you wrote for Angelo's, you know, Eggs Over Easy, and how you came upon the idea and your relationship with that song over many, many years now.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I think it was a lot from going to Angelo.
Yeah. You went there a lot.
Right, and there was a guy named Angelo, you know, and he was a very friendly guy, and so it was Angelo's restaurant. And there's something about, I think the Vangelatis family had another restaurant in town, another Greek restaurant. Somehow, there was just some, you know, Angelo's, Eggs Over Easy, Plate of Hash Browns, you know, food songs. Eggs Over Easy, Plate of Hash Brown, Take My Hand, Mama, We're Going to Town. Oh, what a wonderful thing to do. Eggs Over Easy, Hash Browns, and you will go to Angelo's. The place really hops. Angelo's will be licking our chops. Angelo's, blah, blah, blah. Mama, we'll pull out the top. Stops. When we leave that place, we'll be laughing out loud, smiling so hard, we'll be drawing a crowd. They'll say, what's up, man? We'll boast about the Eggs Over Easy, Hash Browns, and toast. Yeah, it was just this perfect little radio thing.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, this is interesting. Shay?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have something that says Eggs Over Easy, and it says Writing Angelo's. What was happening then for me that I was living out in Delhi. Do you know where Delhi
mm-hmm.
was? Yeah, that place was like a magical castle to me.
Yeah.
You know, with the river and everything. And I had this room upstairs and trains went by every night. You know, the trains would wake you up. And, you'd get up, but after a while you got used to it. And there was just something about being there. And I was upstairs, that was my room, and I'll just read a little of this. I think maybe it'll shift.
Yeah.
It was the late 70s, a spring day. I was free, happy, and hungry. I smelled breakfast, and my sister, my younger sister, had come to visit. So I was really, it was great. She's a really great girl,
yeah.
And we had a lot of fun. But I smelled breakfast, and I was thinking of my sweetie and me, and then in a flash, there was Angelo's, shimmering and fully formed. Hovering before me, a simple, happy, transporting song, just born, a seeming gift from the universe, a shiny apple, a hip swinging peon to love, food and music, and the music of Louis Jordan, one of my favorite heroes, a man who appreciated, among other things, the confluence of jump blues and good food. In those days, Ann Arbor was brimming with live music venues and already iconic hometown bands. The scene was rich and intense. Great music, great musicians. I had emerged into it from my college days at U of M. I discovered I could write my own songs, and I dove in. I was hitting my songwriting stride by the time I moved to Delhi, a tiny community tucked into a bend of the Huron River about 5 miles upstream from Ann Arbor. Delhi was the prettiest place I ever lived. Right now, it makes me cry. Delhi was the prettiest place I ever lived. I rented a small house there with some friends and had a large bedroom upstairs. From the south window, I could see the railroad tracks, no more than 40 feet away, and beyond them, a field of high grass. The grass merged with the sumac bushes. My song. The grass merged with sumac bushes and fall trees as they followed the river. I sat at that window for, and not to take away from anything else, but it was just so wonderful. You know, it filled being there and being in me and hearing music and seeing the river. And I sat at that window for hours and hours playing my guitar, practicing, listening, inventing. I was always on the lookout for something new. And then it happened. A spring day, a train rushing by, the aroma of breakfast cooking downstairs. I was at the window playing through some swing chords, changes in G, relieved that a song I'd been trying to wrestle into existence for the past 3 days had finally let go of me. And out of the ether pops, "Eggs Over Easy Hash Browns and You." What a delicious proposition. What a perfect lyric. Not only did it immediately rhyme itself with, "Oh, what a wonderful thing to do," but in less than half an hour, it pulled an entire song into being. Angelo's, the place really hops. Angelo's, the service is tops. Angelo's, we'll be licking our chops. Mama, we'll pull out the stops. Angelo's quickly became a crowd favorite. When Snap, my first album, came out in 1980, Angelo's was the second song, side one. Carrie Carlson heard it a few years later and chose it to be the theme song for her Over Easy show on WCSX. Carrie played Angelo's twice a weekend for the next 13 years. When Pam Rossi became the new Over Easy host, she kept Angelo's right where it was. You can still hear it on her show every Sunday morning. One evening, I was coming back from a gig in Canada, and the U.S. Customs guy wanted to know about the box of new CDs in my suitcase. I said, "Well, that's my CD. I'm selling them. See, it's got me on the cover." And I could tell he was not convinced. Then he took one out of the box and he looked at the song list on the back. He said, "Angelo's? Is that song about the eggs over easy?" "Yep," I said, sensing a turn in my favor. "It certainly is." "You know that song?" And to my amazement, he started singing it. That's how it's been. Angelo's gathers good feelings around it. It gathers a lot of stories, too. Good stories, happy stories, silver lining stories, like from my friend Steve, who told me he was listening to the song when he got into a... he was listening to the song when he got into a car accident. Good thing was, it made him realize that cars come and go, but people who love you hope you'll stick around for a while. I guess that goes for songs, too. Happy anniversary, Angelo's. 35 years and still making new friends. Under that, it says, Siegel performs at the Arc on December 5th. See Night Spots. He promises to play Angelo's.
Wow. So I have to ask, so Angelo's has closed.
Yeah.
So I understand you had a little, you played there right at the end, and then you all went to the Arc. Is that right? Because Steve told us about that.
Oh, yeah, we did a show at the Arc.
Yeah. How do you feel about Angelo's being closed?
Well, I accepted it.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing, at the end there was nothing particularly, you know, there was nothing bad about it or anything.
Right.
And there was just good things and seeing people, but there was a song that I wrote called the Waitress song. Have you ever heard that song?
Yeah,
I love that song.
Was that inspired by the staff there too?
Yeah, it was exactly from that. It's because I had a girlfriend at the time and she was a waitress and I really felt bad for her, and you know, and so Those four ladies were mean to you. I know it's true. I know it's true. And the hungry mouths are so don't appreciate you. I know it's true. I know it's true. But we're going to show them all, because I'm bringing you another Red Roses to the restaurant, to the restaurant. And it was just building on that thing. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a really, really difficult song, you know, just to put it together. But it really worked. And so I loved that song, and I still do love it.
Yeah. So you have some other songs there. Can you read the lyrics from some of the other songs and tell us?
Yes, I could do that. This is a song called, it's called Friends Duet. I watch as the sun sinks slow in the west. The earth is a-rollin' and I need a rest. I lay my head down and I sing to the wind that rips at my shutters a song of my friend. You are my friend you will be, through the joys and the sorrows of our mystery, in the time that it takes to say thank you, amen, hallelujah for living, and you are my friend. Love comes in pulses and pounds at the heart, fixing and aching and breaking apart. Then love leaves in tatters till love comes again. Love is just something to speak of with friends. You are my friend, my friend you will be, through the joys and the sorrows of our mystery, in the time that it takes to say thank you, amen, hallelujah for living, and you are my friend. The jungle is the jungle, the sea is the sea. You are for you and I am for me. But we're for each other, 'cause we can both lend the pleasure of knowing that you are my friend. You are my friend, yes you are. And the miles don't matter, no matter how far. In the time that it takes to say thank you, amen, hallelujah for living, and you are my friend. You are my friend you will be, through the joys and the sorrows of our mystery. In the time that it takes to say thank you, amen, hallelujah for a living, and you are my friend.
Nice. That's really nice. Who inspired that?
He was a really beloved
Jay Steelstra.
Jay Steelstra.
Oh, you wrote that for Jay.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, he was something. He was a really great guy.
A great guy.
We interviewed him too.
Oh.
A while ago.
Another one is, this one is, this was called Little Things. Sometimes I struggle with the morning, looking at another day. Worries crowding up the picture, pushing hopeful dreams away. Then I have a cup of coffee, enjoy the pleasure it brings. Then I read the morning paper, and I thank God for the little things. This house is kind of modest. We did most of it ourselves. Took a lot to make it pretty. We worked hard, you can tell. We don't drive the latest models. You don't wear big diamond rings. But what we need, honey, we got it. Thank God for the little things. Thank God for the little things, like having heat, enough to eat, friends we like to share our time with. They help us, we help them. Our family, the garden, the sun, the moon, the stars above, we're still in love. Thank God for the little things. Both of us are much too busy. Sometimes work is such a drain. But then I think we got it easy. I shake my head and I don't complain. So much trouble in this big world. Who knows what's waiting in the wings? With all I've got to make me happy, I say thank God for the little things. Thank God for the little things, like having heat, enough to eat, friends we like to share our time with. They help us, we help them, our family, the garden, the sun, the moon, the stars above, we're still in love. Thank God for the little things. Thank God for the little things like having heat. And that's, it gets repeated.
Yeah, that's really very nice. End.
You know, all three songs that you just did, they all have gratitude in them, you know? Is that something, a theme that you've come back to?
I think just that I'm able to have that catharsis, you know? I think that's really what it is that makes me cry or makes me appreciate life, you know, this thing that's so important in my life. There's nothing more important except my, obvious things, the death in the family, someone that you're related to who you lose anyway. But okay, this is a very different kind of a flavor of a guitar. Okay, this is sort of my instrument thing.
Okay.
You know, since I started playing guitar, I wanted to have a good guitar. And so I just, was going back and forth. I'd sell a guitar here. I'd buy that one back. I'd buy another one over here. I'd sell this one. You know, this is just part of being hooked on guitars.
Yeah.
You know, people who are real junkies, and I really am and was. So this song is it's about a Martin guitar.
Yeah.
So it's called Old Wood Steel Strings, circa 2008, Dick Siegel. Grandpa got a Martin guitar when he was just a kid. He played it when he could. He got mighty good for a while. That's all he did. And then Grandpa gave it to my daddy. And now the guitar lives with me. Oh, man, you got to hear this thing. Sound of old wood, steel string. It's a model they call the D-28. Got the fancy herringbone trim. Got a crack on the back and a split in the side. And a place in the front worn thin. Half a decal of a hula girl just about rubbed away. Oh, yeah, it's a pretty thing. Sound of old wood, steel strings. I can hardly understand what makes a guitar sound so fine. Boom, 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 boom. Must be one of those things. Old wood, steel strings. Old wood, steel strings. Sometimes I think it ought to sell it. It's worth big money these days. I won't say how much, more than enough. Take your breath away. But my little girl's been playing guitar and she's starting to play pretty good. She says, Daddy, I sure love this thing. Sound of old wood, steel strings. I can hardly understand what makes the guitar sound so fine. Must be one of those things. Old wood, steel strings. Old wood, steel string. Instrumental. Some folks got a fancy house. They drive a brand new car. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. Me, I got what I got. Plus Grandpa's Martin guitar. There's a little bit of Grandpa in it. I guess I'm going to keep it around. Oh, yeah, you got to hear this thing. Sound of old wood, steel strings. Hardly understand what makes the guitar sound so fine. Must be one of those things. Old wood, steel strings. Old wood, steel strings. Old wood, steel strings. Bom, 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 ba, dum, bom.
So is this still a guitar that you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said you would sometimes, you like guitars and you would trade in one and maybe get another. Do you know how many guitars you have at this point currently?
Well, unfortunately, I only have two.
The two best ones, right?
Well, yeah, there's four.
Four?
Yeah. I just remembered. But the two really good ones. Okay, so we're talking about a 00028. That was a 00028?
Yeah.
So I have a 00018.
Okay.
Which is a mahogany guitar. And so that's the one, that was a sound that I liked, you know, and that was the guitar that I bought. And I've had it ever since.
So, Dick, you have lived in Ann Arbor a long time.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of changes in the town. Can you just talk a little bit about what you love about Ann Arbor and how it's changed over the years, for better or worse?
Yeah, well, for better, I mean, the fact that it's growing like it is and everything's, you know, big buildings are being knocked down, all that stuff. Did you ever hear of Water Hill?
Yeah.
So you've heard, you know, that the whole
Water
event.
Hill, yeah, the music festival.
The music festival, yeah. So that was one of the really amazing. It was the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's what made that. That's and still makes me happy to be there because it's that particular neighborhood, and it was it came from its background was not so great. You know, of like black people weren't able to buy houses back there. You know, but.
Right.
Those things happen. But beyond that, I got to make black friends in my neighborhood, mm-hmm. which there are people in my life, black people, for different reasons, they've been in my life. And I've just felt so connected, so warm to them. The fact that I'm Jewish, I think, has something to do with feeling that, you know, that you can be feeling like you're not accepted somewhere, you know. But so what I realized that I'm appreciating about the neighborhood, aside from that, is that my neighborhood is friendly. And, you know, people drive by in their cars and, you know, hey, Dick, how you doing? You know, from across the street and just, you know, it's a great walking neighborhood.
Yeah. So it sounds like despite Ann Arbor growing, you've still found, you know, that small town or community feel in Water Hill, too.
Yeah, there are some really nice things about living in that city, you know, the great food and hanging out at the old town, mm-hmm. you know, and just...
Yeah, the old town's one of the few places that looks exactly the same as it did 40 years ago.
Right, and it was, you know, somebody that made a decision that was really unusual, that they decided that they were going to keep it the way it was. And you can't buy this restaurant.
Nope.
Because it's everybody. You know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really.
Yeah, that really is nice.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of in your life?
That I have spent so much of my life doing something really beautiful and important for other people. And when people move because of a song that I've written, and it's moving me at the same time, it's the best thing in the world.
Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, yeah, it's been really great. Great catharsis.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
AADL Talks 2 is a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.